Grandy's Grades?
Let's do it.
Grandy's Grades. Let's go.
How did the 49ers grade out this week? Did they pass? Did they fail? Let's find out. It's time for Grandy's Grades on Willard and Dibs.
All right, week three, Grandy's Grades here on 95.7 The Game on Willard and Dibs. As always, we've got seven different categories to go through. We start with the quarterback, then skill positions, which is running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. Offensive line, then to the defense with the front seven, which is the D-linemen and the linebackers. Secondary, special teams, and coaching. We begin with the quarterback, one of the few bright spots, guys. I gave Brock Purdy an A for his performance.
I mean, I'm not going to get any argument over here. I mean, I understand if you want to look at a couple of things. I don't know who you blame a sack fumble on. Is that on the quarterback, the offensive line? To me, it's a little bit shared. You look at the Brandon Ayuk is loose late in the game. Brock doesn't pull the trigger. Those are all fair, but if you want to look at the game as it in its entirety, Brock was fantastic.
It's great. Yeah. It's an A minus because you turned it over and you deprived the kicker a chance to miss a 55-yarder before the end of the half. Thank you. Because you were at the 40-yard line.
Good one, Dips.
Thank you. And ultimately, your job is to hold on to the ball. And yes, McKivitz got beaten, and that fumble came a little bit too easy, yep. And you had Ayuk down the middle of the field open. Had you seen it and thrown it to a guy who had probably 15 yards of separation, which I guess that won't count in his stats as yards of separation because the ball didn't go to him, you win the game. Other than that, he was terrific, but I'm going to grade him tough. It's an A minus.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to argue with an A versus an A minus. I'm going to add in that if there are six drops in a game, like you could have statistically had an unbelievably special game. You know, again, A minus, whatever it is, Brock was really good.
Yeah, fair enough. Skill positions up next. Again, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. As a group, I gave them a B grade.
Wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs. Lay that out a little bit. How'd you get to your B?
Juwan was obviously incredible. If it was just Juwan, he gets an A plus. Jordan Mason was solid.
Good.
He was good. Definitely nothing bad there. You guys just spent the last hour talking about Brandon Ayuk. Obviously, there were a couple of drops. Maybe he was open a couple of times and Purdy didn't find him. And then obviously a big part of this as well, Ronnie Bell dropping a gimme that would have probably won you the game. So that's all factored in there. Overall, the group passed, but there was a couple of key factors that really pulled Juwan and Jordan Mason's grades down.
Yeah, that feels about right. I mean, you know, we're going to focus on the Ronnie Bell thing. I didn't think Brandon Ayuk had some sort of offensive game or anything like that. I didn't think it was great. I guess I'll buy that, which is, I mean, it's crazy with Juwan doing what he did that this only ended up as a B.
Right.
That doesn't speak well of everybody else.
I would put it B minus to C plus because ultimately, and four drops is the official number. They had four drops credited. We can say six because it felt like six, but four is the official number. And when you have the drop that Ronnie Bell had, he's a skill position guy by the very nature of the position he plays. That was catastrophic. And, you know, Mason was good, really good in the first half, pretty quiet in the second half. You got next to nothing out of your tight ends. So, yes, Juwan Jennings, A plus, 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 whatever you want to give him. It was an historic game. But outside of that, your skill guys were mostly just ordinary.
What was Saubert's line?
2 for 41.
Okay.
And I wonder if part of that yardage was on that last play, okie doke, because Jake Brendel got a couple of yards on that. Dominic Pooney loses 3 yards on that play.
I don't think those go as receiving yards. They do. Well, he got two catches and he caught two targets and he caught them both. So you're right. You get yards, but you don't get a catch.
Of course.
Yeah, like Jake Brendel has 2 yards without a reception.
Dominic Pooney has no catches for minus three.
For minus three.
And I was actually watching that play wondering, as a statistician, what kind of a headache that would be. Because the catch part is easy. Okay, he caught it there. He gets that. And then it's like, whoop, 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 whoop. And also for fantasy, if you have a guy who fumbles on that play,
the last guy,
yes,
the last guy
that can crush you
is going to absolutely get you.
Well, did you guys see the Detroit game? Jahmyr Gibbs had a receiving touchdown, even though he didn't have a catch on the play.
Yes,
because it was a hook and lateral.
Yeah,
hook and ladder. Yeah.
And you had the guy who caught it, and then Amon Rock catches it, and he gets the yards and the point, the PPR, but then he gives it up to Gibbs, who gets all the goodness.
Is that why I lost to you?
That was a big reason, yeah.
That's unfortunate.
It was awesome.
All right. Too bad.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Up next is the offensive line as we round out the offense here on Grandy's Grades. I gave the offensive line a D-plus for their performance. Purdy was only sacked once, but he was running for his life over and over and over again, and going up against that front for the Rams, it wasn't good. That this should be a group that you should be able to control, and I didn't think they did for the majority of that game. D-plus for me.
I think that's a little low, just because, again, if there is only one sack, I get where you're coming from on pass protection. It needs to be better. I didn't like Trent Williams telling Christina Pink, boy, this camp thing would have been good. That doesn't land very well with me. But if Jordan Mason is going to play well, you're not going to get sacked very much. I get that there was a sack fumble. They weren't overly penalized. I'm not trying to say it was a good performance. D-plus sounds a little heavy-handed to me.
I put it in a C because you did get 4 yards carry. And I know Brock Purdy went for 41 yards on his own. A couple of those were sneaks, and a lot of them were scrambles. But Mason got 4.1. Garendo, pretty good, getting 3.8. And you only got sacked once. So for me, overall, it was adequate. I would give him a C.
Wasn't a terrible performance. The opponents that you're going up against. I mean, can you guys name a defensive lineman? They've got a couple of rookies. Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, a couple of rookies out of Florida State.
I don't know. Other than, you know, the
Karen Curl.
Donald is retired. You should dominate this group.
Yes, although I would argue that the group, the other trenches group on the other side of the ball, that's where the Rams were really shorthanded. I mean, look, this version of the Rams, Stafford, Puka, Cooper, and Kyren Williams, and then now we can name some of their backup receivers, and I know that Tre'Davious White is now on the Rams. Outside of that, nobody's naming any Rams.
Yeah.
No one's naming any Rams anymore. There's no Jalen Ramsey. There's no Aaron Donald. There's no naming Rams.
Robinson, Whittington,
those
Parkinson.
Defense.
They have a cornerback named Kobe Durant. Kind of a cool name.
That is.
They got Bobby Brown, too.
If you're in the NBA.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, next.
Well, let's go over to the defensive side of the ball. The front seven, which is the D-line that you're talking about, and the linebackers, I gave them the same grade as the O-line, a D-plus for the front seven.
I like it because Kyren Williams had a pretty comfortable day running the ball, and you did have 3 sacks. One of them was an absolute gimme, but you didn't disrupt a game where the Rams were starting 3 backup offensive linemen. So that's a game where they should have feasted like they did against the Jets, where they were a dominant group. So I actually like that grade the best.
I actually don't think it's heavy-handed enough. I'm struggling. Only Hargrave getting a sack. 3 total sacks, I know, on Stafford, but one of them was an absolute cupcake. I'm having a hard time giving them something above an F. I give them a D minus just because, it's not like they were committing penalties all day long, but who on the front seven did you name? Name me the play that someone made. You made a play. A game-changing play. There wasn't one. There wasn't one. And as you just said, 3 of 5 offensive linemen missing, and that group couldn't pressure Matt Stafford, couldn't stop Kyren Williams, couldn't plug the A gap, B gap, any of the gaps, couldn't shop at the gap. They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. That is not worthy of anything other than barely passing. You get a D minus and a request to show up to office hours.
They did have back-to-back plays in the second half where Bosa was held. He forced a hold.
Yep.
Hargrave got his only sack, and that led to a 2nd and 29. That was the only time the Rams were really behind the sticks other than when they were penalized.
Overall, though, you're right. Not a very good day.
No.
Next is the secondary. Also wasn't pretty. I gave them a slightly worse grade than the front seven. I gave the secondary a D for their performance. I know I might have some disagreement here. I just felt like the Rams didn't simply pass for enough yards to get an F in this one. 221 yards. You could fire back. Well, you got Tutu Atwell, DeMarcus Robinson, and Jordan Whittington catching passes. They shouldn't throw for more than 200 yards. And there was another major penalty on Isaac Yiadom. I get all that. But overall, a D is what I gave the secondary for their performance.
Yeah, the only reason I might give it a D plus or a C minus or something like that, like all the things that you just said are acknowledged, I do look at each individual and find out, like, did somebody play well? And I do think that D'Amador Lenore did. Don't love the tweet, but I do love the way he's playing. So if someone's going to talk, like, that's one of maybe 2.5 defenders right now on the Niners team that's playing well. D'Amador Lenore is playing really well. The rest of the group, yeah, I don't like it. Charvarius Ward is not up to par right now. Yiadom, we've discussed. Renardo Green is just starting to get into the fold. I guess I'd also give it a little something just because Hufanga is back. That was fun to see, and he had 7 tackles. So, okay, I'd bump it up a little from where you are, but acknowledge everything you're saying.
I would bump it down a little bit from where you are, and I would put it at a D-. And you look at 221 yards passing for Stafford. Well, really, you should add 73. 48 yards on the Yiadom PI, 25 yards on, and I know Campbell is a linebacker, so maybe that doesn't count.
No, but it's a good point.
But you look at the stats, they had 0 takeaways, and they had 4 passes defensed. 4 passes defensed out of 26, because Tutu got one in there as well. And the big one for me that brings it down to a D minus is Mooney Ward giving up a 50 burger.
That was bad.
On the one thing you can't do with 2:43 to go is get beat over the top. And he was open by 4 or 5 yards.
Lucas and I were watching the All-22 of that earlier today. He was playing like 15 yards off of Tutu Atwell when the ball was snapped and still just got
ran right by him.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, you know how the guys throughout the day have been kind of like, something looks wrong with Brandon Ayuk. You know how that take's been out there? Charvarius Ward is next. Something looks wrong. Like, I love what that guy follows DK Metcalf around and takes him out the game. And then, of course, in Minnesota, he's like, I feel much better when I'm following around the lead receiver. Well, now you played a game that doesn't even have a lead receiver. And dudes are running right by you? Charvarius Ward, I don't like the body language right now.
And you can see reports of hamstring and knee injuries that he's dealing with. So I don't think that he's quite right, but as I've always said, if you're on the field you're playing, you're healthy enough to be out there. So that's why I give him a D-, Grandies, because of that play where you're right. And we talked last week about, they should outlaw the 2 high safeties. You can't go deep. Turns out you can go deep against the Niners. Justin Jefferson's on the phone, as is Tutu Atwell. D-, Grandy.
Life comes at you fast if you're a star cornerback in the NFL. It really is crazy. Just look at Charvarius Ward. He's not a shutdown guy anymore.
Yeah, that's a good drop-in.
Nice job, Lucas. Thanks for contributing to our show. That was awesome.
You got any other questions for me?
Yeah, when's dinner?
About 7.
Okay.
You know what else comes at you fast, Lucas? Rams receivers. Tutu Atwell.
People named Tutu.
Tutu.
You gotta be quick to be named Tutu.
Yeah. Right. Seriously. Or a good dancer.
All right. You thought maybe it would get better from here because we've given out a couple of D pluses and a D. No, it only gets worse because up next is special teams.
There we go.
And they get Grandy's first F of the year. Special teams and F.
I don't even know how you could argue this. What else would you give them? What else would you give them? They get an F for the year. The only reason for the year I'd give him a D- is because Jake Moody was incredible against the Jets. But outside of that, what is this group offering right now? A blocked punt, a fake punt, a punt return, a missed key field goal, Deebo Samuel taking the ball out from 2 yards deep and then getting tackled at the 18 so that the penalty can bring you back to the 10. Like, what is this group doing right now?
Not a lot, Mark.
What are you doing?
Well, you're giving up the most punt return yards in football. You are 32nd in punt net average, which means how far you kick it, how far they return it. And that was another huge moment in the game. Xavier Smith, He, of zero touches in his NFL career, is able to catch it and go 38 yards up the sideline to set up the game winner. It's absolutely an F, and it's actually my second straight F to the special teams in 2 weeks.
What makes it even worse, and this kind of bleeds into the next one.
Danger of failing the class.
Kyle Shanahan saying they felt that the fake punt was coming, they still couldn't stop it. Yeah. And that leads into coaching for me. You guys know me. I'm not one to hand out A-pluses. I'm also not one to hand out Fs. Coaching also gets an F for me in this game. Whoa. And it's more than just Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah,
it is Brian Schneider. It is Nick Sorensen.
Sure.
It is overall not being prepared to take on a Rams team that is down like four of their five best players. Coaching gets an F. They were not prepared for this game.
No, it was not a good day for the staff, obviously. F feels to me, this is sort of the conversation we had last week when you gave Brock Purdy like a B or B minus or whatever it was, and we had the whole conversation about like, well, where's the demerit? Let's do it from the flip side. Is there any piece of coaching that you liked? Anything?
No.
No?
The only thing I liked in this game was Jawan Purdy and some Jordan Mason.
Okay, but is that not part of it? You know, like, here's all I'd say. And I know that this is a criticism of Kyle Shanahan, which is when he has to go off script, it gets not as good. Well, I'll give him credit for his script. His script, and I don't even know, again, was that the script? Did you mean to, like, have Juwan Jennings be the star of the week? I don't know, but the 49ers came out and they went up 14-0. And I believe we're on their way to maybe 21 or 17-0. And then two things got in their way, which is where we get to the special teams and whatnot, is the fake punt and then the sack fumble. But something in there was working. It's not going to give them a good grade, but I might do D as opposed to F.
I got him in a C-. I thought Kyle Shanahan called a great game, and this is going to be something that people want to clap back at, 888-957-9570. And he gets credit for the Ronnie Bell play that he dropped it. That was a great design. It was a great route, and he was open.
Well,
doesn't get credit for Ronnie Bell being on the field in that moment, though.
And you could argue that he doesn't have much of a choice.
Right, right. Like, is there something to be said for coaching, especially when you're the offensive coach, when going into the game, so many were like, oh, my God, what are they going to do with no Kittle, no Debo, and no Christian? And you, what you do is you go out and start running up and down the field scoring touchdowns. That's all I'm saying. Again, not a good day for the coaches, but I got to give them something better than an F because of that factor.
I would give Sorensen an F. I would give Schneider of the special teams an F.
I would give Schneider an M.
Well, and
like, how far down can we go?
Shanahan probably gets a solid B because his job in part is to prepare his team to play. And I do think his team was prepared to play. I don't think that they lost because they were ill-prepared. His job is also to coach the coaches. And the thing about the fake punt, them knowing that it was coming and not calling timeout and not putting the defense back on the field, that's a big demerit. But also, he had a tough challenge that he had to make instantaneously because the Rams were going into hurry-up.
Yep,
and he threw the hanky, and he was correct. Maybe B's a little too high for Shanahan. I don't want to be a Shana stan or a Shana fan, but in general, I don't think that his coaching was the issue.
Well, I mean,
F's a little too high.
I get where Grandy's coming from because if your assistant coaches have a bad day, that gets transferred some to the head coach.
For sure.
Fair or not, I don't know, but that's the, you know, we don't make the rules. That's
he also talks post-game about how he had conversations with the team going into the game, like, you know, this is a hungry Rams team. Yep. They're on their last legs. We got to come out and make sure we don't ever give them any hope. Like, we have the chance to put them away. Don't give them hope. Clearly, the message was not received, and that's on coaching as well.
I give you an example. Like, you're across midfield. This is the sack fumble play. You're up 14-7. There's less than a minute to go until half. A field goal at that point is a big deal. That's a big deal, especially with the Rams getting the ball to come out in the second half. That's a big deal. Two-score lead. I would argue, and I know people want Kyle to be like less conservative, on that play, I think he was not conservative enough. Granted, it would have been a long field goal. Granted, Jake Moody could have missed it. But I think if you do something that's either on the ground or a much more quick hitting play just to get a few yards, you're helping your team in that moment, because this is probably not going to be a touchdown drive. Less than a minute to go, you're just across the 50. Do something that is going to ensure your field goal try. They got a little too aggressive, in my opinion, on that play call.
27 seconds left.
Yeah.
You're out of timeouts.
Yeah.
It's second and two at the 40. You just had used your final timeout.
Yeah.
So if you run it there, then it's going to be maybe first down, maybe third, but you're going to have to spike it, and you probably have one more play, and you're going to kick it anyway.
No problem.
Second and two, maybe you try to pick up a little bit more, you get out of bounds, and you have then a shot or two to the end zone to really put the game in a certain spot.
I don't mind throwing the ball, but a three-step drop release, as opposed to what they did, which was they put Brock back there for a second. And
maybe a second.
I mean, too long. Too
McKibben's
long.
They got beaten very quickly.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But again, like if you're doing a sideline route, you know, you're just doing, you know, like the old high school coaching. If you're just doing basically a one or a two, and you're just boom,
yeah,
just like heading out to the sideline. Yeah, I think you're probably okay on that play.
I didn't hate the call.
Yeah.
You know, considering where they were, you're at the 40, so you feel like you need probably five more yards. At the 40, it's a 57-yarder, which feels, apparently, it's, you know, not something that's comfortable for Moody. He missed a 55-yarder later, so you're thinking,
it's uncomfortable. He's already hit those.
Yeah.
You're indoors. Look, the 55-yarder had plenty of leg. He just pulled it.
Yeah.
57-yarder is completely makeable. And again, I'm thinking you do get some more yards. A draw play there would have been really interesting. I think you probably would have picked up six or seven, and then you have every opportunity to go spike that ball. And then
you're kicking it from there.
Maybe, or you're running one more play. Depends on how quickly that all develops.
Yeah.
But, you know, at that point, it's a 48 to 50-yard field goal and likely a 17-7 lead. That's all. Look, I know it's super easy hindsight, but that's probably what would have worked better.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Now that we know the result.
Didn't mind it. And, you know, before that, they had the throw to Saubert, which got you to the 40, and it was over the middle, so you had to use your final timeout. Maybe you should have come up and just spiked it then and kept the timeout, and then you would have had a chance to run it again or pass it. And hindsight is always 20-20.
Sure. We're going to go back to the phones in just a sec. 888-957-9570. Good job on the Grandy's grades, man. That was fun. Yeah, thanks.
Way to go, Grandy.
Well, and you too, Lucas. Your contributions were not overlooked. So,
thanks.
Baldy was on the morning show today. He was on with the roast. And Daryl called about an hour ago. And he wanted a piece of me. And so we got into it, and if you missed it, sort of like, I mean, this is a real dumbed-down sort of explanation of the call, but he thinks I'm the King Brandon Ayuk hater, and he would like me to be as mad at Nick Bosa. Let's take a listen to Brian Baldinger's breakdown of Brandon Ayuk, and then Brian Baldinger's breakdown of Nick Bosa, and let's compare and contrast. Listen to the words he uses with regard to, first, Ayuk.
You know, last year, he averages 17 yards a catch, and he had 7 touchdowns. He's averaging 10 yards a catch right now. He looks pedestrian, and he's playing like he's pedestrian. Like, you don't see, you know, just the moves to separate. You just don't see, he just doesn't seem like the same person. He doesn't have any sort of swag about him at all right now. He just seems like a guy out there. Now, is that training camp? Is that... It probably is a big chunk of it. No offseason, no training camp, no preseason, and then just go and hit the ground running. And maybe it's going to take a while. You know, 3 years ago when he was in that proverbial doghouse to start the season, he dug himself out. And I'm not saying he's in a doghouse. He's not. But, you know, maybe it's just going to take time for him to find that rhythm back into this offense right now, because he's not really heavily involved right now. And he doesn't play like he should be.
Okay. He used the word pedestrian. That's a big word.
Yeah.
For $30 million, that's a big word. I know we're spotlighting a small sample right now. I have every belief that Brandon Ayuk is going to get better. But I am going to stand firmly where I stand, which is that there was damage done here. Brandon can absolutely get back to being Brandon, and it can all look fancy and go great for another 2, 3, 4 years after this. That's absolutely possible, maybe even a little bit probable. But we're here now, and the Niners are 1-2, and I'd argue he is not helping, and I'd argue it was for reasons that were not necessary. Okay? Am I frustrated with Nick Bosa? Yeah, but nowhere near as much. Would love all of your thoughts, Dibs, you weigh into after we hear what Baldy said about Nick Bosa so far.
He hasn't done much. I mean, you know, if Nick was on this call with us right now, he'd tell you he has to do more. He'd be honest with himself. You know, you're going up against guys that you should win against. You know, I mean, Lark Jackson is a guy that, you know, he's paid, and he's a former defensive player of the year. You want to win those one-on-one battles. Now, I'll give Sean McVay credit. And, you know, their offense line coach. I mean, they doubled them. They knew exactly who to double on every protection when they wanted to go deep. They chipped them. They slid to them. I mean, he wasn't getting easy one-on-one rushes. But he knows that. He knows he still has to defeat that stuff. But these chips and the way that they use their tight ends and the running backs, especially Kyren, to go over there and just give a shoulder here and there. I mean, they were very, very adroit at protecting Stafford to be able to take those shots.
I mean, that's my take. Nick Bosa, we want him to be great, and he's only being good. Brandon Ayuk, we want him to be great, and he's not even been good. And then the other thing is the two holdouts, I don't see the same either. Nick held out for a better offer and got it. Brandon got the offer he asked for and then didn't take it, and then took it 3 weeks later. Those don't add up to the same, if you
ask me. Well, for me, that part of it doesn't even matter. All that matters is how do you play when you actually get on the field, and they both miss camp, and Nick Bosa had a slow start, but his slow start last year was better than Brandon Ayuk's pedestrian start, and Nick Bosa this year hasn't been a whole lot better than how he started last year. And Baldy's right, and if you watch the tape, you see that he's not doubled on every play, but there's always a tension. He gets chipped, and they slide to him. And it's funny what Guru said about he only has one move, but I do look at the way they're deploying Nick Bosa, and occasionally they'll run that TE stunt where the tackle will burst out and take the left tackle so that Nick Bosa can loop around and come to the inside, which is a classic stunt that many teams run. They don't do that a lot. And when they do it, Nick Bosa a lot of times is not getting home anyway because it's not happening quick enough. So Nick Bosa is playing fine. If you didn't know who he was or you didn't know how much he was making, and if you didn't have the expectations that you had for him, you would look at Nick Bosa and go, he's been solid, but we're expecting more from Nick Bosa because
for sure
he makes so much money. And you see these other teams that have these game wreckers, and Nick Bosa's not wrecking the game. He had a sack, and he had the hold that I mentioned, which I do think there should be a category somewhere statistically, like an FH, a forced hold.
For the holds you create, sure.
Right, because that's 10 yards.
It's a huge negative play.
It's a huge play.
It's so, more than most sacks.
Exactly. Yeah. So you don't get credit for it, and they do get to keep the down.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm looking at it from, like I said, the second drive that the Rams had in the game, it was a forced hold that made it first and 20, and that was all Nick Bosa. He got around the outside like he always does, and he got dragged to the ground. That should be a stat, but Nick Bosa has not been enough of a game wrecker as you would like him to be.
Yeah, again, he's been good, not great, and for that contract, and just
right.
Because you think he has the ability, you'd like him to be great, and so we can hold him to that standard. The Ayuk thing is earlier in its process, but again, you want him to be great, and I think my eyes, he hasn't even been good. He hasn't even been good. I don't even know if he's been okay. He has been, well, I think pedestrian. That's a good word, but it's not a good word.
No, it's not.
Not an okay word.
And I know Pro Football Focus is not the end all be all.
Yeah,
I only use it as a measurement and as another piece of material, but right now, he is ranked out of 116 wide receivers through three games. Brandon Ayuk is ranked 64th overall. And that accounts for run blocking, pass catching, and the rest of it. By contrast, Nick Bosa is 7th out of 114 defensive ends.
I appreciate you bringing that up. That I think that's a great thing to bring up. Which, and again, you're right. It's not the end-all, be-all.
No.
But, you know, this goes back to that conversation we had last week about everyone doing the keep the same energy. This is not the same. Nick Bosa does not deserve the same energy as Brandon Ayuk. He is not playing nearly as poorly.
Right. And so Nick is ranked. Nick is ranked seventh, and we all expect him to be one or two. And part of that is we expect him to be one or two the way Fred Warner is number one of 77 linebackers who play Fred's position. Number one.
Number one.
And if I looked at all players by rating through three games, he's at 94.4. He might be number one in all of football.
He might be the best player in football. Yeah.
And in coverage, in run defense, across the board, he is absolutely monster.
And then I'd like to put him at number one for the stuff that doesn't even show up in PFF.
Yeah.
I think he's the best leader in the game. I think he is flat out the best leader in the game. And how long has it been since Fred got paid? How many years does Fred have left? Thank you. Appreciate that so much. Yeah, Fred Warner contract. Like, I mean, that's one of those things. 5 year, $95 million contract signed in 21.
So this is year four of
21,
five.
21, 22, 23, 24. Yeah, this is, yeah.
So and I think that he got, I think he reworked his deal to tack on some voidable years. Let me look at the details.
He is, he does have another year in 2026. So, yeah, he's got two more years, and then right now would hit unrestricted free agency in 2027 at age 31.
Right.
So, hasn't even turned 30 yet.
And you would guess that if he plays like this the rest of this year, they're going to go ahead and give him the McCaffrey or the Trent rework deal because he's the kind of got to have it player right now. As you mentioned, like if you look at this team,
what's happened to the linebacker market? Like we're all doing the market. Well, I don't know where it's at. Fred's at 19 as far as AAV. I don't know where that sits. I haven't, the linebacker thing has not done what the wide receiver thing has done. So I don't know how far off of the market he is right now.
He's the second highest behind the Ravens.
So there you go.
Yep, good call.
There you go. He's number two. So, I mean, he could argue he's number one, and that would be a tiny raise. I don't know if Fred would even, you know what I mean? I don't know where he's going to go with that one.
His cap hits are probably going to be the highest in the league. He's restructured twice.
Yep.
Next year, his cap hit jumps to $29 million. 2026, 26.7. It's currently at 12.6.
And the potential out of the deal was before this season, and obviously they did not have any interest in doing that. So, yeah, Fred's not going anywhere for a little while. Dog trainer in Milpitas on Willard and Dibs. What up, dog?
Hey, what up? Arr! Hey, it's not Halloween. Hey,
not yet.
We're getting there. So, what I was thinking about when you guys were talking earlier about the individuality of these guys, the way I see it is, I haven't seen Kyle call at least one, because he's a creative guy. I don't know why, if they're not winning and if they're struggling and they're not playing well as a team, why doesn't he just play one, at least one trick play a game that gets the team early in the game, maybe early in the first quarter on defense, gets the opponent thinking that, hey, maybe they're going to try that again if we see the same formation, and then they do something opposite. They've got other guys that were high school quarterbacks that can throw the ball. McCaffrey's out, but the other guy, there's another guy out there that played high school quarterback. But the other thing is there's three ways I look at Kyle's calling the plays. Number one, how many plays in the game was it obvious that a man was out of position on defense for the offensive scheme that play that was called? Number two, was it just that he lost his footing and he slipped and he got beat deep or across the middle? No. I want to see plays called where guys can't match up. I don't see a lot of that. Number two, how many times has Brock thrown a tight window? When every time Brock throws in a tight window, it's because it's obvious nobody's open because nobody's beating anybody easily by the play call. So Brock's having to make up for it, which is his job as a quarterback. Number three, and the last point, is how many times do we see that there's nothing there because the play called wasn't on that level of genius? I'm not seeing Kyle be obvious this season out coaching on offense the teams that are playing defense.
Well,
that's my take.
Doc Trainer, thank you. I wonder if that's a product of a few things. The play calling. First of all, I think you are missing some of the wide openness that was out there go watch Juwan Jennings tape from Sunday. And there are some things being schemed in an incredible way. Go back to Juszczyk against the Jets. Like, there are some things out there.
Second, yeah, Juwan's 31-yard touchdown pass, like, when he ran all alone down
himself,
the left sideline.
The only
guy
on the television screen. But I do wonder if the lack of a Christian McCaffrey, a Debo, and a George Kittle affects that as well, because those are one-on-one route game winners, and so their personnel is down a little bit. But I don't really feel too much about, like, the whole tight window thing. Like, that's football. Like, you can't just expect, because you have a good head coach, that people are going to be running by themselves on every play. The trick play thing is interesting. I wonder what you think about that. To me, if I look at Kyle's history, that's saved more for A, later in the year, and B, an opponent and a situation where you feel like maybe you're at a little bit of a deficit, kind of like what McVay did with the fake punt.
Right.
You don't do it in a game where you come out, you're up 14 to nothing before our butts got warm, and you feel like you've got this game. You feel like you're the better team. I don't need to waste. I'm not putting that on tape unless I feel like I need to. And I get that they lost, but I also get that at no point in the game did he feel like that was necessary.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, the caller mentioned a dog trainer that McCaffrey's a guy, and Debo, those are guys that you might be more willing to run these plays with. And I don't know if, you know, you're going to go jet sweep to Juwan and have him throw it to Ronnie Bell. That doesn't sound like a great idea to me.
I mean, was it, who was the one who threw it, not in the Super Bowl, but against the Rams a few years back? Was that Debo to Christian, or was it the other way around?
I think it was Debo to Christian.
Was it? Am I remembering that incorrectly? Or did Christian, was Christian not involved in that at all?
Well, McCaffrey's first full game as a Niner, he had a rushing, a receiving, and a passing.
That's the one.
So
I'm
he threw
of.
One, I think, to Juwan.
Was it Juwan or Debo? Anyway,
I don't remember.
You get it. You get it. Like, situations like that. And obviously at that time in that season, they were a little bit more on the brink-ish.
Yeah, there was Juwan to McCaffrey in the Super Bowl.
Yes, there was that one too.
Yeah.
Of course.
And just closing the book on the Pro Football Focus thing, Fred Warner is actually second in all of football in PFF ranking.
Who's number one?
Eric McCoy, the center for the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, yeah. They're having a good start.
So there you go.
Tomorrow at 7 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game, we'll be airing a two-hour special on mental health, featuring some of the biggest names in music, news, and sports, and some of the most respected mental health professionals. I'm Listening is our two-hour special, spreading awareness about mental health and the message that talk saves lives. The show will be hosted by Carson Daly and available on the Odyssey app. For more information, visit imlistening.org. We'll keep going with more of your phone calls next on Willard and Dibbs.
A rebuttal.
A rebuttal.
Thank you.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah. I'm excited, Mark, because after today, we get into tomorrow, and tomorrow is the official turning of the page to week four in the National Football League. So we'll spend some time tomorrow picking through this carcass. Yeah, and then we are on to Cincinnati, or more accurately, Santa Clara and the New England Patriots.
The New England Patriots, who are starting who at quarterback?
I know who they're not starting because I saw
them
last night.
That's a great question.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know who I saw last night? Mac Jones.
Well, he played football last night.
He played football.
Yes, he did. For
so
the
I know who
Jaguars.
They're not starting tomorrow, yes, and it's McCorkle Jones.
They're not starting McCorkle. Neither are the Niners. Remember when everyone thought that was going to be the Niner quarterback?
Oh, my God, we did weeks on that.
Well, by the way, if you want to do this for a second, and we didn't even do Brockster's Millions, maybe we could do that tomorrow. You want to know how great of a – this? Just a quick teaser. This was a great, and I mean big capital G, great week for Brock's money. And the reason is twofold. One, he went out and balled out without his weapons. And two, Trevor Lawrence makes $55 million a year.
My God.
Holy crap.
We were kind of half watching it on the air, and
he
I had
looks
to point.
Awful.
I had to point
oh
after
God.
His pick, and you were looking at me like, what's wrong? And I was pointing, and then you look, it's like He overthrew the guy
just hucked it over someone's head. That was a high school pick.
Yes.
It was a high school pick.
I think, was that DeMar Hamlin?
That was DeMar Hamlin. Yeah, no shade at DeMar. Like, you made a good play, but, like, the pass was just horrific.
Ferocious.
So, anyway, there's that. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence. What are you doing? What the hell are the Jaguars doing? And, by the way, Buffalo Bills, 3-0, and outside of their first, like, quarter of football at home against Arizona, they've been the most dominant team in football for sure. And they're 3-0, and also following the blueprint that we've been talking about a little bit. They had a high-priced receiver last year. They kicked him. They sent him to Houston in a trade. They had a secondary-priced receiver.
Stephon, go bye-bye.
They had a free agent receiver who was on the second market for wide receivers. His name's Gabe Davis.
Bye-bye.
Let him walk. I wonder if you add up. I know they drafted Keon Coleman early. They've got Khalil Shakir. They signed Curtis Samuel in free agency. And I'm forgetting another guy. But anyway.
Mac Hollins.
So the 49ers are definitely spending more on Debo and Brandon. I think they might be spending more on just one of them than the Bills are spending on their entire core.
Which may turn out to be regrettable, because we've talked about it before. The Green Bay Packers and what they have chosen to do, where Devontae Adams, Devontae go bye-bye, and he's drafting guys left and right, receivers and tight ends and receivers, and you're chock full of guys on rookie deals, and now the Niners are saddled by, ow, that really hurts, I can't play, and,
ow!
Yeah.
Ow!
And, number 11, who's in the crosswalk, because he's pedestrian.
I really hate laughing at that as much as I do.
Oh, what, the John Sterling pedestrian line?
It's an old man getting hit in the face by a baseball.
It is gone!
And I can't stop laughing, and I hate myself for it.
And the long version, when he goes with, that really hit me.
Well, that's what makes it funny, is he just rolls right through it. He gives three outs.
And the 2-1 pitch.
And he starts doing play-by-play of his own demise.
Incredible.
Oh.
As much as his kitschy, and the rest of his, no, si puro posto, or whatever. I do it wrong every time. All that stuff.
Here comes the judge.
It's all so cringy, but the man, he did some games now, and that play-by-play of him getting hit is just unbelievable. It's timeless.
It's Giancarlo Nocipo Stoparlo.
Yeah, I get it wrong every time.
I don't even know what it means.
Yeah.
Oh, that Gary is scary.
It's just all of it and more, but just that really hit me.
Oh,
it's all so good.
Yep.
Anyway, Debo Samuel,
yep,
that really hit me. I can't play, and Brandon Ayuk in the crosswalk because he's pedestrian, and you're paying those guys a combined $50 million next year, and Philadelphia, Devontae, and AJ, are they both hurt?
Well, AJ is hurt, and then Devontae left with a concussion. I don't know his status for this week.
He's in the protocol.
It might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like it. My God, that hit was brutal. That was an awful, awful,
awful,
unflagged hit. That's one of those where you're going to get fined even though you weren't flagged. Brutal. Brutal hit. I'm going to throw you a total curveball.
You won't.
I will. Andy Baggerly on Twitter. Farhan Zaidi met with beat reporters in Arizona. He acknowledged the process is ongoing with ownership to evaluate himself.
Yeah.
But he remains focused on improving the team. Quote, anytime you have a disappointing season, it's my job to evaluate everything in my purview, and it's their job to evaluate everything in my purview plus me. And so I think that process is happening, and I understand it.
Okay.
I grab you.
Well, nothing too newsworthy in that, because in other words, he's got a year left in his deal, and they've had another bad year. and he's being evaluated as a result of that. Okay.
Sure. I think what's newsworthy is that he said it and the way he said it. You know what I mean?
For sure. Like, I'll buy that part of it.
There's an acknowledgement right there that's Farhan Zaidi saying with his own words, I might not be back.
Right.
I don't know. I have not been told by ownership that I'm okay. Like, that to me, that's what he didn't say, but that's what he's saying. And I do find that to be, that's newsworthy.
Yes.
That's interesting to me.
And I'm sure most Giants fans are saying two things. One, duh, you know, no Schmidt, Sherlock.
Well, but.
And the other part of it is, hooray, you know, check out his purview.
Well.
Because that's in their purview, and what's in his purview has not been too purdy. Shout out, Brock. So, yes, he needs to be analyzed, and they probably need to make a change. I don't know if they will, but...
Well, they definitely need to make a change. They need to make a bunch of changes. I know you mean with his job status. I know, but you also, I know you agree with this. I'm not sitting here telling you they should or they shouldn't. I'm sitting here telling you that, like, that will feel, if it happens, like the pound of flesh everybody wants. The next day, the Giants aren't better. You might think that they are. I don't know what they're going to do next. You know what I mean? Like, there needs to be sort of a conceptual shift, not just a personnel shift. There needs to be a different way that you're going about doing what you're doing.
Right, and you can't get a different way if you have the same guy doing it. Well, he's not suddenly going to go about things in a different way, I don't think.
I mean, he tried to this year. He tried
to. A little bit.
He spent a hell of a lot more money than they had.
And I give him credit for that, but I also will discredit him for the farm system being almost back to where it was when he took the job.
Well, you know what? I don't know about that. Like, I know that some of the names that we've thought would be good and we want to be good are disappointing, but other names that we didn't know about are popping. Tyler Fitzgerald, McCray, it's not like nothing has come out of there.
That's a light pop. That's not a legit pop.
Well, they're interesting players. How about the pitchers? You like Birdsong?
He's okay.
Okay.
I mean, they've developed bottom-of-the-order guys and three and four starters.
And what about Eldridge? Firing through the system.
Yeah, boy.
Are you excited?
Well, of course, because... Okay. He's like the backup quarterback. Of course you're excited. He hasn't done anything yet.
No, he hasn't done anything yet. But, I mean, he moved from San Jose to Sac. That's a hell of a jump.
Right.
In one, like, three quarters of a season.
I get it. That's so exciting. Yeah. But and he did it without much in front of him. Shout out Trenton Brooks.
True.
Who is, the only first baseman ahead of him, or was.
Yeah. Yeah. Grandy, what are you about to do?
We're going to hear Brian Baldinger. You guys played a couple of his cuts earlier this hour. We're going to hear the full conversation with Bonte and Shasky. And then you guys reacting to what T.J. Houshmandzadeh said about Juwan and Aiyuk. If you missed that, you're going to want to stick around for that.
And by the way, if you do want to hear T.J., we'll just tell you. You can go to Odyssey app. You can go to YouTube. His phone was wonky at times, so you got to battle through that. But I promise you, you will get the gist of what he's saying. And it's pretty damn interesting. All right, so here comes Grandy, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Greg Cosell's on our show tomorrow, so I assume you'd like to do it tomorrow.
I would like to do it tomorrow.
All right, then we will. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.